life. And as always, right here, we have Peter James who will be taking your call.
Talk to me, John.
Peter, thank you so much. I know your birthday's coming up. It's the day before Bridget's. So it's September 24th. And so, Peter, we miss you a lot. This past week was, the seven-year anniversary of when you passed away, July 31st, and we miss you a lot. But thank you so much for coming back and, taking the calls here, Peter.
I'm here to help you.
I know. I got a million pages open. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's just each and every week, it's just a great thing to hear your voice and everybody. Everybody's getting into the chat room, too. You can see that. See, everybody's in the chat room.
Did you hear that?
No, Peter, they're not caught. It seems like we go over this all the time, Peter. It's a chat room. People join the chat room. Do you have a message for Bridget? She was a big fan of yours.
We're here with love and light for you.
Oh, that's great, Peter. He's here with love and light for you. So let's see here. Let's bring our host on real quick here. Let's see, Sophia.
Come through. Speak to me.
Hello?
Sophia, you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, just get a little closer. We're trying out your little microphone there.
Dad,
how is that?
If the microphone was any closer to my head, it would be inside my skull.
Okay, so that's good enough. So, yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah.
So, how's the studio coming along, your Life Paranormal studio?
It's coming along good. We put up a poster the other day that was given to me by the coolest guy in the world, Scott Latia. It's from a video game called Murdered Soul Suspect, which is awesome. I got it yesterday.
Wow. No, that's fantastic. I mean, he's got a lot of great things coming your direction, too. So I want to thank Scott, too. And how cool is it you got Bridget coming on today?
Yeah, it's awesome. I did meet her when I was little. I don't think that either of us thought that one day I would be interviewing her on the radio and she'd be interviewed by that little girl she met when I was like seven.
I know you got one of the highest rated shows on the world's largest paranormal broadcast network. Mom and Dad are proud of you. Yeah, Bridget, I mean, we did the Playboy wedding for Roy and Stacy and had a great time at the Top of the Palms. In another life, she should be some kind of wedding planner or something extraordinary because, I mean, it was fantastic. The only thing is, I'm a married man. I'm at a bachelor party at the Top of the Palms in Vegas for a Playboy wedding. So Bridget thought it was funny to bring the Thunder from Down Under guys up to the room that us guys are in. That wasn't what I expected out of a Playboy bachelor party at all. So just a little bone I picked with her about it.
That actually made my life. It just gives me so many more jokes I can come up with. Thank you.
I know, everybody got a kick out of that.
I did.
Yeah.
I think that made your entire trip better. Well, for me.
Yeah, but we all want to grab these guys by their chaps and throw them out the window, but anyway, we're going to bring tell us about our guest today, by the way, Sophia.
I would just like to say thank you, Stacy. I do remember when I was little, your wedding was on the day of my birthday, and my parents told you that, and you actually moved your wedding day just so my parents could do both. And I do, again, just want to say thank you for that.
I know, that was cool. I can't believe it was only 6 years ago. That was amazing. But, yeah, tell us about our guest, Sophia.
Everyone knows Bridget Marquardt from the E! Channel's Entertainment Network, Travel Channel's Bridget's Sexiest Beaches series, feature film The House Bunny, and Bio Channel's Celebrity Ghost Story, Celebrity Paranormal Project, popular televised series, and Sirius XM Radio. During today's show, Bridget will share her personal encounters and passion for the field of the paranormal. So, Dad, let's bring Bridget Marquardt on the show.
Peter, do we have Bridget?
Come through. Speak to me.
Bridget, are you there?
Hello. I'm here.
Bridget, hey.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Wow.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show.
Of course. And really sorry about the bachelor party with the Thunder from Down Under.
I'm totally fine with it. I think that's funny.
You guys said strippers. You didn't specify.
That's actually your fault, so.
It would have been old guys with Australian accents and cowboy hats and assless chaps. I should have specified that, too. So. It was a lose-lose for us.
Well, we had a good time.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah,
you did a fantastic job, Court.
About that. Okay, So to start off, how's your sister Anastasia doing? I remember meeting you both down on Belmont Shore.
Oh, yeah. She's doing good. She is living in Northern. She's got married, and she's living in Northern California now, and she's doing. She's getting her vet tech certificate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Are you still performing aerial stunts on the trapeze? And what was the scariest moment when initially learning?
I actually had it installed in my house, so I have a trapeze bar and the hoop in my entryway.
Whoa.
Next to the chandelier.
Wow.
So I can practice as much as I want. But the scariest part is I'm actually afraid of heights. And so doing things like trapeze, and I've gone rappelling and I've gone skydiving, things like that help push me and make me feel better about it, actually. Even though they're super scary for me at first, after I do it, I feel really liberated and really good and like I can conquer anything. So it was one of those kinds of things where I was up there and I was so scared. And the one stunt that I had to do that I thought was, it took me the longest, like I literally started to cry while I was up there and saying, I can't do it, is you're sitting on, I do bungee trapeze, so they strap the bungee cords on you, so you can actually jump off of the trapeze bar and then jump back up to it, you know, springing kind of. And I was on the trapeze bar, and I had to go off backwards, just like you're seated on there and just let yourself go backwards. And for whatever reason, going backwards off of that, even though I had the bungees on, it was just so scary for me. But I finally mastered it. And it's really fun.
Wow.
I could never do that. I'm so afraid of heights.
See, but that's the best. That's the best way to get over it and to move on from it.
True.
Wow.
Face your fears.
So I know you have a store at Etsy.com. It's Etsy.com/shop/celebratewithbridget. We can see that you offer personally handmade gift boxes, aprons, and items that you include with certificates of auth they were made by you. Tell us more about the shop and the Halloween line that you're offering.
Okay, well, I love doing crafts and homemade things, and I usually do it for friends and family, and I give, like, I wrap presents really elaborately, and I did it on Girls Next Door, and I got a lot of people emailing me saying, what can I do? I have a baby shower to go to. How should I wrap it? Or do it for me and that kind of stuff? And I've never done it for anybody other than my personal friends and family, and
right.
I was having like a downtime, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to start a little Etsy store and work on some of my handmade things. And I was doing wreaths at first, and then I did some of my gift boxes, and now I'm kind of stuck on doing aprons, and I'm having so much fun making, I got a sewing machine for Christmas, and I taught myself how to sew, and I started making these aprons and Instagramming pictures of them, and people were like, I would actually buy that, I like those. So I started offering them on Etsy, and they've been doing really, really well, and now I'm excited because it's time to start on my Halloween ones. So I've been trying to conceptualize what my Halloween ones are going to look like.
Wow.
Well, can't wait to check those out. Everyone go to Bridget's Etsy. She's got some great things there, so make sure to check it out.
Yeah, I just posted it. I posted the link in the chat room, too. So it's Etsy. That's E-T-S-Y. That's E-T-S-Y. So Etsy.com/shop/celebratewithbridget or by search. So Etsy.com/celebratewithbridget.
Thank you.
So in January 2013, you spoke candidly about Mary O'Connor's passing, who was Hess's longtime personal assistant at the Playboy Mansion. What is your fondest remembrance of Mary or a reflection you would like to share?
There are so many with Mary. There's like no way I could pick just one. She was like our stand-in mom while we were at the mansion. We could go to Mary with everything, and she traveled the world with us. She was just there for everything, and there's so many memories. But I guess if I had to pick one that kind of stands out, we were at the Kentucky Derby, and you know you have to wear these big elaborate hats, and Mary brought just like a little visor that she always wore, and she took it down to the hat store at our hotel that we were staying at in Kentucky and asked them if they would add some things to her little visor. And when we went to pick up the hats, we grabbed Mary's hat, and it looked perfect, but we also got her this really crazy kind of ugly hat, and we brought that back, and we hid her real hat, and we told her that this was the hat they made for her. And she acted like it was a pile of snakes she had to wear on her head. She would not touch it. She would not look at it. She hated it. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. She was throwing a fit. And finally, we had to go, Mary, we're just kidding, and give her her real visor that had the little flowers put on it. And she was so relieved. But it was just funny how the reaction that she had to this hat. She was refused to wear it.
Wow.
But Mary's just funny. She definitely had a mind of her own, and she would just tell it like it was. There was no sugarcoating things.
Wow. That she's cool.
Yeah, she seemed like a great person.
She brought so much to the mansion and to Hef and to all of us.
So, I know 2 weeks ago, NBC's Last Call McStanding runner-up and paranormal investigator, comedian Marcus, was on my show and talked about how he told you a comedic bedtime story during a competing episode. How hard would it be to stir a comedic bedtime story?
I forgot all about that. They did. They did do that. It's very easy to fall asleep, and you fall asleep while they're reading it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, they were all really funny and really cute. They did a really good job on that segment.
So the late famed Fox sighting psychic and paranormal researcher Peter James passed away 7 years ago last week. Peter's birthday is September 24th, which is one day earlier than your birthday.
Libras!
What did Peter James' legendary career mean to you when watching his career paranormal investigation?
Well, I used to watch all the sightings and, I mean, just, I used to watch all of those kinds of shows, and he would always, he actually hosted sightings, right? Or did he just do certain episodes?
He was their weekly psychic correspondent, so every week they'd check in with him. It's just some place. It could be the Winchester House, Alcatraz, or a resident, like the Sally's House or things like that.
Yeah, I remember, I feel like I was, what years was that on? I feel like I was pretty young when I watched all those things, but I was fascinated by him and those shows, and I would love for them when they came on. Do they ever still re-air them? I would love to watch them again.
It's actually on in 35 other countries, syndicated, and it's on Chiller Channel as Unexplained Mysteries, and it's a lot of the same footage, and that was a re-release by Sci-Fi. So that Sunday mornings, you'll see that on Chiller Channel as a two-hour block. But, yeah, he submitted the Queen Mary footage of him communicating with Jackie in April of 1991, and that was the first one that they aired, and their station was so inundated with early forms of email and faxes and things like that that they made him a regular on the show, and so it continued on until 1996.
Yeah, I was really into all of those shows, and I enjoyed watching it. So that was from, do you remember there was a house? Oh, gosh, I forget where it was. Tell me the Sally story.
Yeah, that's just in Kansas. That was the Pickman family, and that's where the dad got the scratches on the stomach and arms. You know, they just start showing up.
Oh, my gosh.
And also,
yes.
The Ghost Rider investigation where they took Polaroids in Glendale, and the answers would show up on the Polaroid. That was another famed one.
Oh, that's so creepy. That gives me goosebumps and chills. I love all that stuff.
So, speaking of his first investigation on to pitch to sightings, did you ever get a chance to investigate the Queen Mary ship while here in Long Beach, California?
I have a couple of times. One time I did it, the first time I did it just on my own with a friend, and we stayed on B deck, which is supposed to be super haunted, and we had the craziest things happen in our room, and nothing like totally, I mean, they were specific. We would go out, and we would, I always shut the light off before, and it's an inside cabin that we were staying in, so it's pitch black when you shut the lights off. So you know that you shut them off. We'd shut them off and come back to the room, and the light was on. And this happened like 5 or 6 times throughout the night, and I was like, no way. So what? The next time I'm like, okay, we are shutting the light off. Like, let's, because we kept second-guessing, well, maybe we didn't. So this time we made a point. We're shutting the light off. And then we left and we came back and it was on again. And the same thing with our TV. It would just like pop on. Like we'd turn it off before we left the room and we'd come back in and sometimes it would be on. So just weird, little weird things like that. And then one time I was walking down the hall. We actually like went out after midnight specifically just to walk around and see if we could feel or sense anything. I didn't have any equipment or anything at the time. It was just walk around and see if you feel or sense anything. And we were walking down the hall on B deck, and you know how long and narrow the halls are. You can see like forever. And all of a sudden I heard like we both actually heard like a little. I don't know how to explain it, maybe like a little clunk behind us, and I turned, and out of the corner of my eye, it looked like a child with a ball, like bounced a ball, and ran across the hall, but as you know, the hall is so narrow that you can't, if you take one step across the hall, even as a child, you're pretty much across the hall, and it just disappeared like that. So, but it was at the it was out of the corner of my eye. It's like you think you saw that, but then there's nothing there, and you didn't see it clearly, and we both heard the clunk, so we weren't sure what we just saw or heard, but that was the only thing we actually saw besides the lights and the TVs kind of just turning on and off on their own.
Wow.
But I thought that was pretty cool. And then the second time we did it, we actually did it, an investigation there with the psychic there, and Girls Next Door was filming, and we were there with Hef for another event, and we spent the night, and we went down to, like, the very bottom of the ship, and we got to go inside the pool, like, actually inside the swimming pool. Because, you know, it's emptied out. We got to, like, take pictures down there. And we just got to go, like, everywhere in there, places that they said they don't even let people go in. So that was pretty cool.
That was a great place.
The Queen Mary is a great place. You always get so much stuff when investigating there. I personally, that was the first place I ever investigated, and that's basically what started me in the paranormal, was investigating there.
Yeah, it's definitely a good place to start. Do you ever watch the camera where the in the one stateroom where the bed unmakes itself?
Oh, that was on Ghost Hunters,
Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, back then anyway, they had like a camera on it 24/7 so you could log on and watch it in real time all the time.
Yeah, the pool did too, and they ended up taking it down like a few years ago. But that you used to just sit and have it minimized in your screen and watch it.
Oh, that's cool. But they took it down.
Such an interesting ship with so many stories to tell. If only it could tell the stories.
But, right. Well, it's trying to.
Yeah.
Kind of does, yeah.
So you co-conducted a paranormal investigation of the Playboy Mansion with a set of researchers during an episode of The Girls Next Door. What were findings of the investigation, your personal experiences there, and who do you believe the female ghost is that haunts the location?
Well, the findings were that they said that I was a conduit and that the reason that people were seeing things is because I was there and it was coming through me. So I don't know how true that is, but like the EMF meter, like they would put it over Hef and Kendra and it would not like really do anything. And they put it over me and it was like spiking like crazy and making all kinds of weird noises. And they're like, you're the conduit. You're the reason all this is happening here. And I'm like, no, other people have seen things too. So I don't know. I don't know, but I believe I actually did a lot of research on the mansion, and I was going to write a book about the ghosts of the Playboy Mansion. And there's a rumor. The ghost story is that Mrs. Letts, the house was originally built by Arthur Letts and his wife, way before Hef, and back in 1927, and there's a ghost story that she jumped off the balcony onto the marble floor and died that way. But I actually went and did a lot of research on the Letzes and the mansion, and she did not die that way. And so I believe, actually, Stacy, my sister, Stacy, and I were in my room one night at the mansion, and I had just gotten Wednesday, my little dog, and she was in a pen right by my bathroom door, and all of a sudden, all three of us saw something standing in the doorway there, and we all looked, except for my sister, and Stacy was like, oh my God, what was that? And I'm like, did you see that? And Stacy's like, I don't know what I just saw, but I saw a flash of something in the doorway. And Anastasia started crying. My sister started crying. She's like, I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I know something is there. And I'm like, it's not there. It's another one of those out of the corner of your eye, you hear and you see something, and you turn to look, and it's gone just like that. But what I thought I saw was a woman with dark, kind of stringy hair, very thin, looking at my dog. And there was a long time ago, there was a woman who worked at the mansion, and she was Hef's right hand, and she was there. She was there for everybody. She was kind of like another Mary. And when I first tested for Playboy, she was there, and I met her, and she was like, oh, I know you're gonna make it, and you're gonna do really well. And she was just like kind of like a house mom at the mansion. Well, she died of cancer, and I have a feeling that it might be her. And I think it's a good thing that she's there, and I think it's a nice thing. And I think she's there to check up on things. And that night in my room, I think maybe she just wanted to see the new addition to the house, my little dog.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks like Sophia's call dropped. She's going to come right back into the studio. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick commercial break and come back again with Bridget Marquardt. And, Sophia's got more questions and everything. But the thing is, that was one thing I want to talk to Bridget about. And, we're going to come back and get all the prompts for the commercial break. But, I know Roy and Stacy had something, a wedding gift we got for them that's called a claw, and it picks up little items and things like that. And that started going off when Bridget was around and everything. And then there was a big knock at the door, I guess, at one point. So we're going to follow up with Bridget. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Team Investigators.
Ever.
Frank.
Steve.
Candy. Jessica.
From California Ghost Chasers, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show. Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. Tonight on liveparanormal.com, starting at 3 p.m. Pacific, Worldwide Soul Searchers Live, The Cajun Host Hunter Chronicles, Get Remesmerized, My Paranormal Experience, Boundaries of Reality, Raven's Nest Vampire Radio, and Paranormal Insomniacs After Our Webcam and My Chat. So the paranormal doesn't have to stop here, and as always, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids is here monthly on Monday nights. Also, too, Ben Hansen, Patrick Burns, Amy Goodwin, David Roundtree, Stefan Brigatti, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gerhardt, and many more. So the paranormal doesn't have to stop with this show, too, as well. So the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli, and let's see here. I'm trying to get everybody loaded back in the queue. There's a lot of people tuning in, so everything's working real slow on the switchboard. So let me try to get everything back up and running here. And let's see, Peter. Okay, there's Peter. Okay, I got it, Peter. Let's see here. Well, Peter, do you have a message for Bridget?
Anything? I'm not going to hurt you. I promise you that.
Well, she knows that, Peter. You were the kindest, warmest, most gentle person, gracious person that could possibly exist. So, Peter, you know, and you're going to be featured on an upcoming episode coming this fall, probably most likely October from what I was told, on a dedicated episode of the Queen Mary on Ghost Adventures on Travel Channel. And a great point of it was on Peter James and his fame footage and discoveries there. So congratulations, Peter. But bringing everybody back in.
Come through. Speak to me.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Let's see here. We have Sophia. We have her line back open now. Okay, everything's
Hello.
Good. And Bridget, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So when filming on location, Travel Channel's Bridget's Sexiest Beaches, did you ever conduct any personal paranormal investigations on your show? Like, were there any historic locations that were reportedly haunted?
Yes, we did. One in particular, we were in Key West, and there's a lot of paranormal things that go on in Key West, which I wasn't aware of till I was there. But one of the things is they have this museum, and they have Robert the Doll. Are you guys familiar with Robert the Doll?
I'm not. My dad, maybe.
Well, it's this doll, and it's very creepy looking, and supposedly it's what inspired the Chucky movies. And you're not supposed to take a picture of it or necessarily look at it right in its eyes, and they have it behind glass, but everyone that's had this doll has had really bad things happen to them. And now it's just in this, like, shipwreck pirates museum as part of, like, the history of Key West, but it's super creepy.
Right. Well,
are you familiar with the doll?
Yeah.
That sounds really creepy. I would never own a doll that's that creepy.
I do have a picture of him, though.
That's
it's in a lot of documentaries and things.
Yeah.
So, you are on BioChannel Celebrity Ghost Story. Can you walk us through your personal encounter and who you believe the ghost was?
My story started back when I was about 12. I hadn't had any experiences before that, but I played the Ouija board when I was 12 with my cousin, and my great-grandfather had just died, and supposedly we were talking to him through the Ouija board. And I was accusing my cousin of moving the thing, and she was accusing me of moving it, and we didn't think anything of it, and we put the Ouija board away. And later on that night, we saw really weird markings on her leg. Like, they look like little crosses going down her leg, like right by her knee. And we thought that was really creepy, and we were blaming it on the Ouija board, but we were sort of joking, like we didn't know where they came from. And then shortly after that, not the same day, but like shortly after that, I started getting really creepy feelings about my grandpa, that he was like around. And one day I got home from school and I came in the back door, shut it, and went into the living room, and I heard the back door swing open. So I went back into the laundry room, shut the back door. I just thought I didn't shut it hard. And then I came back in the living room, and I heard it swing open again. And this happened, like, three times. And so then I went in there, and I locked it, and I walked back out. And I heard it swing open again. And this time I was like, no way. Why isn't the stupid door latching? I don't understand. So I went in there, and sitting on the hamper was my grandfather, my great-grandfather.
Wow.
But it didn't look like him exactly. It looked like him, but the eyes weren't quite right. Like, his eyes were brown, and this eyes were blue. And
right.
And he looked creepy, like evilish. Like, it was scary. It wasn't like a good thing. It wasn't like, oh my God, my grandpa's here. It was like scary, like, get out of the laundry room. And I ran out, and I was freaking out, and I was totally scared. And so my mom came home, and I was telling her about it, and she was just like, you know, that's kind of a weird story, so how do you react? But things kept happening, and I kept feeling his presence, but not in a good way. And I kept having weird sightings. And so my mom called our pastor over to talk to me about it. And he basically told me that I should start keeping a diary of all of it. So I started a little diary, and every time I had, like, an experience or a sighting, I would write it down. And one day, the diary was missing. And it wasn't like something my parents would take from me, because I shared it with them. Like, this wasn't a secret or anything. So one day my diary is missing, and we've never found the diary to this day. But eventually, and this was, I was seeing my grandfather for years, and eventually in my teens it finally, like, started slowing down and finally went away. But I feel like ever since then, I've been kind of sensitive to things, like possibly at the mansion seeing things, and even at the Queen Mary, and it has also started my fascination for all of this stuff.
Wow. Here in the chat room, yeah. Also, too, if you're making questions in the chat room, make sure they're all capped so I can see them. And Scott did. So we have Scott Latia in the chat room. He asks, Bridget, where would you like to see the paranormal field go? Do you see it more open in the past? And what's your favorite equipment to use?
You know, my favorite equipment to use, and I don't even have one, but it's high on my list to get one, is the K2 meter. I love that it is so interactive, and it lights up, it does everything for you. I feel like that's the next thing I need in my kit. What was the other question, Omer?
Oh, the first part, like, where do you see the direction of the paranormal field? I've got to get back to the question, but does it seem more open? It seems to me like a lot of people we know are way more open. People we didn't expect to talk about ghosts are like, oh, well, my mom always swore this and that. And it could be like, you know, just a friend of yours, or it could be some millionaire you're talking to about, oh, what do you guys do? And the next thing you know, they're talking about it. And it's like,
no,
it didn't seem that way. Yeah, go ahead.
It's definitely way more open. Like, when I was first seeing my grandfather, my grandmother literally took me to go see a psychiatrist. She was like, something's wrong with you. Like, everybody was hush-hush. They didn't know how to handle it. Like, it was like something was wrong with me. Or I was imagining this because I was having other problems or something, you know? But now when I tell people, other people share their stories, too, that have happened.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's definitely way more open. And I feel like with all the TV shows now and everything, people are more comfortable about talking about it. People don't feel as weird about it. They're like, oh, I've experienced that kind of thing too. And people are just more comfortable with it. And it's not like such a, oh, something's wrong with you. It's everybody has, not everybody, but most people have their own little story they can add to, and they know where you're coming from.
Right.
So you were on VH1 Celebrity Paranormal Project, which featured you, the late David Carradine, Coolio, Andrew Firestone, and Mia St. John in November 2006. The episode was called Tanner's Ghost. Tell us about the history you and the cast initially learned about the Hawthorne Mill location beforehand.
Oh, my gosh. That was such a fun experience.
That was cool.
Well, we had to fly all the way to Maine. That's where it happened, and we were sequestered, so we didn't know who else was going to be on our on our team. And I was so excited to do this show. And then they came and got us, and they took us out on a boat, and we went to this abandoned island with this, would they say, 400,000 square foot abandoned textile mill on it. And they took us into this office that, you know, had just been abandoned and, like, file cabinets tipped over and just, like, it's just, like, very, very rustic, abandoned-looking office. And that was our home base. And basically, we had to stay there from sundown to sunup. And we had a computer in there that would give us the history of the mill and what had happened there. And then our assignments that we needed to do to investigate it for the night. So basically the mill was ran by a man, and his wife was having an affair with one of the employees, and that employee was accidentally pushed into a picker machine, supposedly, and killed. So it was kind of a love triangle and involving this picker machine that killed somebody. And we had to go and investigate and do different things. And Coolio and I got picked to go on the first mission together. So we had and there's no camera crews. We film it ourselves. So we literally have – there's the mill had already been outfitted with night cameras in it, and then we had helmet cameras, and we had cameras that we were holding as we went through our things. So Coolio and I went down, and then they made us split up, and I had to go behind the boiler, and I had to set up the motion detector and then wait there and see if anything happens. And the motion detector went off three times while we were standing there. And then Coolio was like, I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you. He wasn't supposed to, but he was like running towards me. And then I swear I heard somebody whisper in my ear. And I don't know what they said, but like I could feel the breath and everything. And I was literally behind a boiler and in a corner with like a brick wall. So I don't know where it came from, but then Coolio got there, and I was like, Coolio, somebody just whispered to me. Somebody just whispered to me.
And Coolio heard footsteps, too.
I've honestly never seen anyone repack a table quicker than Coolio did when you guys were
Gosh. I know. That was so funny. We were down there, and there was literally somebody – something went running up the metal steps right next to us. And Coolio just, like, packed that up, and we were out of there.
That
you were brave,
really fast,
though.
So, I mean, that was actually really impressive how fast you did that.
Yeah, and my second one was with Mia. We had to go out, and they wanted Mia to put her hands in the picker while and she was like, there's no way I'm putting my hands in the picker. So they made her go back to the home base, and I had to stay there by myself and stick my hands in the picker and call out for the ghost. So that it was fun.
So during the celebrity collective paranormal investigation, you utilized IR video, thermal laser sensors, and combined personal experiences. Some, like we were saying, heard footsteps. You heard whispers. You also guys smelled cigar smoke, mechanical gears, door slams. What did you sense or feel? Like anything regarding the location, like did you sense anything was there when you first got there?
Yes. One second. Let me just switch phones really fast.
Okay.
Sure.
Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, that phone was dying. Let's see here. When we first got there, I mean, the building just looks creepy in itself. So already that leads you to get those kinds of feelings. And then we didn't get to go explore at first. We were just taken directly to our area. And then we watched the whole video on what had happened there. So when you're walking around and it's nighttime and you know all the history that happened there and you're investigating it, like there was definite spookiness to the place. But I can't say that I necessarily felt anything paranormal at that time until things started happening, like the whisper and the footsteps, and we could hear running on the roof, but it was impossible to be running on the roof because the roof was falling in. Like it wasn't a solid roof up there. So we definitely heard all kinds of things.
Wow. Jeez.
So,
it didn't help that David Carradine started playing that wood flute to bring him forward, too.
I know.
I can't believe he brought a flute with him.
Well, I can't either.
Probably hits people
like,
with it. Okay.
When you get told that you're going to a haunted, like, mill, like, I don't think the first reaction of most people would be, let me grab my flute.
True, but we didn't know where we were going at all. Like, we had no idea. So even less likely to bring your flute.
So, is there anything you do for protection before, after, or during in a paranormal investigation?
No, but should I?
It's really up to you how you personally feel. I mean, yeah, there's no proven evidence that protection works. It does for some people. For others, it doesn't. Personally, I think it's based on the person.
Yeah, but they can tell if you're plastic on the inside. So if there's something that empowers you, like some people, they sage, holy water. Peter never used those things and called them condiments, but he said that if it's something that helps you feel empowered, it protects you from psychic attacks or, you know, the ones that are aggressive and, you know, as in life, so in death. If they had a hatred towards women or a bigotry or anything of that type, they're that way in death or if they're a territorial. So something that empowers you or it helps you in an investigation or in a place you don't feel certain about, certainly take all those means necessary.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't hurt. I all of my ghost hunting that I do has been just for hobby and places that I think would be interesting or fun. Nothing that I think is like super scary or at this point super scary or might follow me home, but I guess it could happen anywhere, right?
Yeah. So what do you think of paranormal researchers using provoking or ghost baiting to attempt to generate paranormal activity or response?
Wait, what was that?
What do you think of paranormal researchers using provoking or ghost baiting to attempt to generate paranormal activity or response?
Oh, well, in what way do you mean? Like tap or trying to make them angry?
Like how people like how they'll show on some paranormal shows that like people will yell out, "Hey, I'm coming for you. I'm here. What are you going to do about it?" Like stuff like that.
Yeah,
trying
that's
to
for,
get
you
them
know,
angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like doing things like give me a sign that you're here, like tap on the wall or things like that. I like, you know, because you want to have some sort of evidence that there's something mm-hmm. there or that. But as far as like provoking them or making them angry, I feel like that's messing with things that you might not want to mess with.
Yeah.
But I do have a story about that. Holly bought a new house, and she has a guest house attached to it that she says is haunted. So she had me come over, and I brought my ghost hunting kit. And Holly and my friend Ashley and I, we did a little ghost hunt in her house. And we were walking around with the EMF meter and the voice recorder and the camcorder. And we sat, and then where we were getting the biggest spikes on the EMF meter, I was like, let's just sit right here and let's ask it some questions and see if we can get any kind of stuff. So we sat down there and I was asking for her to send to, for the, we found out later it was a her, but I said for it to give us any kind of sign that there was there, like, could you tap on something? And we heard a tap. But I wasn't confident that it wasn't just coincidence of something else. So I asked for it again and we heard a tap again, but I was suspecting that it could have been something electrical out in the kitchen that just happened to be tapping when I was asking. So I asked for it to touch me or one of us. And I got a poke in the shoulder blade. And we were all like, no way. And even I was second guessing, did I really just get poked? Or did like my back just twitch right when I asked? So then we left, right. And there was a psychic that was supposed to meet us there. And she couldn't make it for some reason. And Holly and I and Ashley left, and we went to dinner. And the psychic called us while we were at dinner, and she said, did you guys go to the house and do an investigation? And Holly's like, yeah, why? And she's like, I have the little girl who's haunting your guest house in front of me, and she says she poked one of you. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, my God.
What?
I did get poked.
Verification.
Yeah. Jeez. So that was kind of cool. That's my newest story.
Let us know if she needs any resources, let us know, because we know a lot of people that can remotely do things, or if you need a team that's, you know, really seasoned, and, you know, just if it seems like something a little bit more affecting kids or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been Holly's had little events at her house, and a little girl was leaving and said, Mommy, who's that little girl over there? And saw the girl.
Oh, man. Jeez.
So supposedly it's a little girl from like the prairie days, and there's a spring near Holly's house. So the people used to camp out around there during, you know, back in the wagon days. And I guess she died there and was buried there. Supposedly.
Wow.
That's what the psychic says. So there's no proof of the story yet. But
That sounds okay.
Are there any websites, upcoming interviews, releases, events, or paranormal investigations you would like to mention?
Not that I feel like I need to mention or whatever, but it sounds like you guys had a whole bunch of them you were listing in your previous this morning.
Well,
oh, yeah,
everyone,
never sounds
don't
for
forget
them.
To go check out Bridget's Etsy and follow Bridget
on
Twitter.
The link's in the chat room. Oh, yeah, just posted the link. It's Etsy.com. That's E-T-S-Y. Etsy.com, the shop. But you can also go by search at Etsy.com, Celebrate with Bridget.
Yeah, and the Halloween aprons aren't in there yet, but I'm figuring them out right now.
Okay, so I think I can ask you one more question before this show's over. If
okay.
you can investigate any place in the world, where would it be?
That is a good question. It was Eastern State, but I got to go there and do it.
Wow.
Have you guys been to Eastern State Penitentiary?
No.
I have not. My parents wouldn't even let me go to Alcatraz, guys.
Yeah, we didn't overnight, but certain things till she's old enough, yeah.
Dad, I'm 15.
Eastern State is pretty creepy. You know what? I know I have a whole list of things that I want to go and do, but there's not one in particular that I feel like is my top right now. I feel like I've done those things. I've done Alcatraz, and I've done the Winchester House and Eastern State and the Queen Mary. What else? There's so many things. Have you been to the Whaley House in San Diego?
Not yet. We have an open invite. So we're going down there real soon.
You should check out Bridget's Doll Island in Mexico. That place is really cool.
Oh, my God. I heard about that. That looks so
Sophia
creepy.
Sophia
was
dying to go there.
I really
want
to go there.
Let's plan a trip.
Okay.
Well, it's the final moments of the show. Bridget, thanks so much for coming on. Again, Etsy.com,
so
Celebrate with Bridget. And, you have an open invite to come back. Anything you ever want to promote, let us know.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks,
all right, thanks
great
a lot, Bridget.
Have a spooky weekend.
Yeah, you too. Again, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Next week, we have Paranormal Challenges seen on a Travel Channel. Rachel, Tina, and Danielle from Paranormal Expeditions. Great show, everybody. We'll see you next week.
This is Mark and Debbie Constantino, EVP Specialist, as seen on The Ghost Adventures.
You are listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.